is Wednesday. It's BFA, 3FA, Wednesday, season 2, episode 6, Unapologetic. I think we left off last episode, and that's what we started with. So I am Preston PK Gathers, your moderator. From time to time, we split that up. I am on with Cornelius the Compass McCall, and I got the young fella with the birthday under his hat, but still the young fella, P. Alexander Wally, is on with us today, man. So, like we said, coming off of last week, Unapologetic. That's the name of the show. So when we say that, Cornelius, what are we talking about here, sir? What are we getting ready to get into, chop it up with the people on this lovely Wednesday? How y'all doing, first of all, fellas? I'm sorry. Y'all good?
I'm good, man.
We're not on vacation with all that good food. But, you know, we all right. We
I know, good. Man. All kind of vegan wraps, man, mixed with all kind of salads and pastas.
I almost unapologetically poured a drink, you know, to sit here, but then I decided not to because I have been throwing the vegan eats all in y'all's face, man. It has been fantastic. So I have been sharing those pictures, and the wife corporate has been sharing those pictures with y'all unapologetically. So
yeah,
you know,
basically,
I don't apologize for, you know. So we said we were going with unapologetic. You know, we've been talking offline. And I said, okay, I got an idea of what I want, you know, what we want to talk about. We came to a consensus on that, but I want, you know, the compass to show us how, lead the way. What are we talking about when we say unapologetic?
Unapologetic, man. Okay, so I didn't notice it, man, but, you know, when you initially posted this thing, right, the trailer, warning order on Facebook, man, you attached the book definition of what unapologetic means. You know, and so I was gonna try to, dive into the topic by pushing that definition, you know, but just, you know, just to kind of define what that word means, okay? Not acknowledging or expressing regret by demonstrating who you are, okay? And I'm not defining unapologetically black. I'm just defining what unapologetic means. Okay? Because there are a multitude, right, of cultures who have been unapologetic. But just to give you a sense of what that word means, okay, I looked up the word unapologetic in the thesaurus, okay? In your face, right? Buzzwords like militant, pushy, self-assertive, okay, without apology or qualification. Okay, that's what Webster's, that's how Webster's defines an apology. Okay, and we're gonna dive into some social figureheads, you know, that they only define to be unapologetic. There's one in particular, Wally, I can't wait till you dive into that one. That's going to be a good conversation, man, back and forth, bro. Yeah, that's my definition, man, unapologetic.
Cool. So, Wally, how you feel about it? You unapologetic. Does that come off as rude to you, or... You know, I am who I am. I said what I said. Is that as advertised? What's up?
If it's beneficial, then nah, you don't need to apologize. Like you can be abrasive, and it's not beneficial to others. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, I would say I'm unapologetic in a way that I like always have to like find something to indulge myself into, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm either learning something or I'm helping somebody else be better, or I'm doing something that is beneficial to my own, you know, internal growth, personal growth, and also a benefit, you know, to my family of some sort. And for any of those reasons alone, like I would never apologize for that. I would never feel bad for being overly assertive in a way that is only conducive to a positive outcome. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So just diving straight into it, you know, with the Olympics ending, I think Team USA, you know, most golds home, most total medals and everything, but there were two figureheads, two celebs, two athletes that overtook the Olympics, so that didn't happen. But in the sports they were participating in, one being a team event, and Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka, one being a team event, and plus individuals. I mean, but they became a thing, you know, with Simone bowing out, you know, to take care of her, and Osaka before going to the Olympics saying that she would not just wasn't going to talk to the media at like Roland Garros and all those kind of things. So we were talking about it. And Compass, you had the 411 on, you know, me being the casual guy, if I'm the casual listener, watcher of, you know, BFA sports, the Olympics, and I see and I hear all this fuss about Simone and a lot of people getting backing her, and, you know, she had her detractors. You give me the scoop. What happened with those two ladies, or one of those two ladies? What happened with Simone? The reason they were eating her up about it, you know, I'm the casual dude. I just tapped in to watch you guys. I watched a little bit of Olympics. I didn't bother to do the research on Simone Biles and why she didn't. She's the greatest ever. So, you know, let me, what's going on with that? And you said she was unapologetic in what she did. So I'm the casual guy, you know, I'm green to all of it. Let me know what happened with the young queen.
Both all right, so, and who was the other
individual? Naomi Osaka is the Japanese player. She carried the flag or lit the torch, Japanese tennis player. I can't remember if mom or dad is black, but before going to the Olympics, she said that she was going to stop talking to the media for her mental health. She'd pay all the fines. It didn't matter, you know, so they were just on her. Like, how are you not going to be at your – you talk to people before and after your tennis matches, but you're going to the Olympics, there are going to be even more people and stuff like that. But I know you and the wife were talking about Simone and how they, you know, so like I said, I'm that casual dude. So I need you to break that down to me. What happened with that?
Okay. So there's a matter of which order I start with. I'd like to tackle the Naomi first because it's a little quicker.
Yep.
And then we'll jump into Simone almost immediately after that. So, Naomi, her dad, I believe, I want to say I'm about 98% sure. Her dad is Haitian, okay, and her mother is of Asian descent. She identifies as black, you know, but for the purposes of what she does as an athlete, she represents Japan, right? So, you know, the queen and I, Dana, we was talking, you know, and I'm like, okay, that was a brilliant money. It's a brilliant financial strategy, right, to put dollar bills behind Japan in the Olympics, right? However, we all know when it comes down to who she is, her core, she identifies with the black culture, okay? That's really all I know from that point of view, reading the articles, you know, her deciding not to, you know, participate in certain events, you know, because they try to paint her as the, they want her to be really, you know, the new Williams sister. You know, society is ready for Venus and Serena, they're not ready for Osaka, you know. Now, diving into Simone, right, Miss Biles, basically, when it was all said and done, she took a knee for mental health, okay, which is okay. That's okay. You know, if you need to take a knee for mental health, that's cool, right? You rewind it a few days, right, a few situations ago. They basically told Simone, they were like, hey, you know, the moves that you were performing in the Olympics is too much. And we don't want Preston and Wiley going out there trying to do the such and such on the mat and they hurt themselves. So if you do that move on the mat, we are not going to give you your points for it. Okay. So basically, she would have been disqualified for being too good, you know? And she took a knee, you know what I mean? And was she unapologetic about it? I wish she would have came forward and said, hey, you know, you basically, you told me that I was too good in this group of people who don't look like me. You dig what I'm saying? And yeah, that's what happened to Simone. And it was unfortunate that that it happened to her like that, because I believe she did go back after her hiatus, you know what I mean? She got bronze.
Yeah, she qualified for four individual events and she sat out of three out of the four. She went back for the last one. I think it might have been the beam. It might have been the beam. That's her, you know, that's her
right.
one. Well, she's gymnast all around, but that was her one and she went back and got the bronze. So,
right.
Wally, you know, we talk mental health. You know me, I take a mental health, the wife and I take up mental health every once a month. We're just going to take that day just for us. So when you saw that, when you saw she was going to sit out, you know, were you, I mean, to each his own, it's for her, but were you for it, against it, right on, hey, do what you got to do for you? What were you thinking? Because then I got a couple of detracting statements that I'm going to throw out to you on those two before you get into to your guys. Me, real quick, personally, I felt she said what she said. Hey, I took care of my mental health. That's what it's going to be. I don't care if it's on the littlest stage, the biggest stage. Check the resume. I've got everything I could possibly want. And unapologetically, I'm not with it, boss. But, you know, when you saw those headlines coming out, she was sitting out this one and she wasn't going to do this. You know, what were you thinking? How'd you feel about it? You know?
Just a brief synopsis for Naomi Osaka.
Yeah.
I feel like the main thing that bothered everybody was the point that she came out and did so at such a young, immature age in her career, not from a level of personal maturity, but how early on it is in her career where she's still kind of establishing her reputation as an athlete, right? And I think that's what pissed everybody off, because it's like, who are you and what have you done in our eyes that makes you feel like you're worthy or your career is respectable enough to pull this card right now? And how old is she? If I'm not mistaken, she's what? Right. So both of the two young ladies in this case are young to where they still haven't probably even hit their prime years as an athlete, person, woman, whatever they're doing in their career, personal life, whatever, you know, they still haven't even peaked yet.
So you got Osaka at 23, Simone is 24.
Right. Okay. So same age. But again, looking at the level of accomplishments that they already have at these young ages, they still haven't even really honed into who they are yet as athletes or as women, whatever, you know, as far as their goals and aspirations. So I feel like it's very difficult to put that restraint on people, but they try to do that to the younger black athletes all the time. Because if I'm not mistaken, before I dive into the Simone Biles thing, if I'm not mistaken, it's okay for an 18-year-old to go to the majors and play baseball. There's high school players that are drafted to play hockey. Golf, you can be a teenager and compete in a tournament to qualify for the Masters. Mm-hmm. Football and basketball, which are predominantly, you might as well say those are black sports. I don't care how you make it up or you try to dress it up. We know what those two sports are. So it's like, oh no, we don't want you to get this notoriety, this fame. You got this ability. No, we're going to hinder it and send you to school for this amount of time and give you this restriction to where you change your mind, get injured, and your career is ruined. You know, either one of those two options that hinders your progress from being, you know, a famous person that we have to be obligated to keep track of based on what they do in their career as sports reporters, analysts, or any of the media in general. So I feel like that was a slap in the face for her to pull that card and say she was taking that break from a mental health standpoint and putting herself first. Going to Simone Biles, same thing. Everything is about, you know, evolution, right? So it was okay, and I know y'all are gonna laugh, you know, when you hear this, but you'll remember what I'm talking about. You know, remember when everybody was kind of migrating to the X Games and all the BMX stuff and the skateboarding, and PlayStation had just came out, and one of the most popular games, one of my more favorite games on there was Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Right. So it was okay for him to do that 900 because that was a move that was never done before in a routine, in a skateboarding competition. That was a dangerous move. It's even evolved since then. You got dudes that are doing like 1040s now and all that.
Yeah, 1080s.
Yeah, when he was on the skateboard trying to come off the vert ramp and do a 900 degree spin, he was the only one doing that. But he was being cheered. He was being encouraged by his peers, by the media, by everybody to see him do that because that was a great feat to witness, whether you were watching on TV or you were there in person. But in the case of Simone Biles, it's like, nah, we ain't trying to see that. You know what I'm saying? It was cool for Phelps to go out there and break records and do what he was doing as an Olympian. And I don't recall hearing anything, you know, even when he was, you know, going through whatever, you know, happened with his career and, you know, the whole marijuana thing and all that. I don't think he had to give any medals back. I don't think he was blackballed. I don't think he was slandered in any way. There was no, at least if I'm wrong, y'all let me know. I don't recall any type of defamation to his character.
And
just knowing that, I'm glad to see it, because if you look at it, she chose right there in front of her team, in front of the world. It could have happened in practice. It could have happened driving to the event. It could have happened at the hotel. It could have happened at practice. And it just so happened to be right there with all eyes just on her, where she was like, yo, I'm done, or I'm taking this break. And I think that's what angered them the most, because one, you can't take away from her accomplishments. You can't take away from her ability. And then you can't duplicate or try to put somebody else, you can't put the spotlight on somebody else to take away from her. You know what I'm saying? Like, not trying to be funny or anything like that, but whoever the young lady is that's on the Geico commercial that does the flips and gets the frisbee or whatever off the roof.
Kayla Maroney.
You don't see, anybody talking about Simone, and then they're like, oh, well, you know, such and such is, she's just as good. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't nobody doing that. There's nobody that you can put in that place.
They call her a goat, and she's 24. A goat.
And just imagine.
It's the GOAT. Greatest woman of all. Greatest gymnast woman of all. GOAT. GGWO.
Right.
Just think of where she started and where she is now at 24. She's doing stuff nobody else is doing that has ever competed in the Olympics or national gymnastics tournaments, global, whatever. And there's nobody even amongst her peers now who have the same resources, the same accessibility to the training or whatever to recoup their bodies. There's nobody now that can even touch that.
So I think her number two, I think right after she took a knee, her number two went and won gold in that event. You know, I can't remember the young lady's name, but
Right.
I believe she said that she was going to college. And I'm like,
and no disrespect to her. Yeah. She would have still probably won a medal, but she would have probably won a silver.
Oh, well, yeah.
Had the GOAT been up in that thing, we already know.
The GOAT, bro. 32 Olympic and world medals. 7 Olympic medals, you know, it's come every so often. 4 gold, 1 silver, 2 bronze. Yeah, and you would have been second place. Me and Janet watched the those two, I don't blame Naomi Osaka, man, when she says, hey, I'm not doing interviews. I'll pay the fine. I mean, if you got the money and if that's what it's going to take to protect your peace, then that's what you got to do. Same thing with Simone. If you ain't feeling it, you ain't feeling it. You ain't got to do it. So me and Janet watched the Run for the Gold or something NBC had that was leading up to the Olympics, and they were, you know, talking with all of them, and Suni Lee's dad was on there, and you know, I think she picked up some goals there. Lee did, because stepping in, but you know, they would go through the qualifying rounds, and her little brother would be like, Suni's brother would be like, oh man, Suni did so great, this, that, another, and her dad like, hold on, Simone still has to go, you know what I mean? Even though Team USA is 1 and 2. Pops knew, like, you know, we're dealing with a different beast right here. So,
right.
I mean, so here are some of the detracting statements, because I know Wally got two that I really want to talk about. And then I got one that Neil's got to tell me about Nick Cannon. So we'll get back to that. But so I read some of those articles because I see my ladies, they were talking about them. And they said, I read an article, I can't remember dude's name, but he said with Osaka saying that she wasn't going to talk to the media and everything, that was a super radical act of self-care. She's showing to be a brat, the ultimate privilege, and she'd rather just pay the fines out of getting out of the press conferences. Look at all the women that worked so hard to popularize that sport, and you're by talking to the media and fans and everything like that, and then you don't want to do it. So I was like, what are you saying?
Sound like a microaggression to me.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, you said a radical act of self-care, a brat, ultimate privilege. What about the people that worked so hard to popularize the sport? And you say, what about the people that have worked so hard to popularize that?
You know? I mean,
it goes to say the same thing. You could say whatever you want, but who can you put in that place? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't say something and then there's no, you don't have, what do we always talk about? And we've discussed this offline where don't present the problem without a solution, right?
Right, yep.
So don't tell me that she's, you know, unruly or disrespecting the sport. Okay, so then who's better? Mm-hmm. Well, who can we replace her with that's up here on the same level as her or that's better than her for you to take her out of the equation?
Well, I mean, mm-hmm. Who says that I have to talk to you? So you got a freedom of press, but that goes both ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could print whatever you want, but I don't have to read it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
or they want to. Again, like we always discussed, like I said this before on the previous episode, I say it all the time. They want to see us in flux where.
Mm-hmm. See, oh, look, there they go. Doing it.
Mm-hmm. What's the matter? Why are you so disturbed? What's wrong with your mental health? Why are you not mentally stable right now? Like they want to see all the determining factors that lead up to a downward spiral and then be able to write about it because they still need to keep a job. Like, my mental health is not going to be job security for you just because you need something to talk about to earn a check.
No doubt.
That's not how that works. And that's what it is. They want these athletes or just people in general, any public figure, they want you to be obligated to talk to them, whether they identify or even care, just because they want to take that story and publish it.
Yep. So He said it. He hit that. I don't have nothing to add to that. That was all.
Yeah, yeah. I ain't got nothing. Yeah.
He took the assignment. You know what I'm saying? Read it perfectly and took care of that for me. He wrote the dissertation for me on that one. Now these Simone ones, I saw. So when she went to qualifier, world trials, whichever ones those was, you know, and they said, okay, well, you get to the Olympics and now you're having these breakdowns and all that kind of stuff, and you got the twisties and you can't see. First of all, half these cats out here can't stand on one leg in one place for 30 seconds. And you worried about Shardy.
I can't even do one of Janet's yoga poses without hurting myself.
You can't give me a tree pose, you know what I'm saying? Stand on your one leg for 30 seconds and just get your breathing together. But you on my girl, because she said when she does a flip, she gets the twisties and gets disoriented and doesn't know where she is. And you upset about it. So, all right, well, if you got to bow out and you got to take care of your mental health and everything, why'd you go to the world trials and you had your leotard and you had a goat on the back of them and everything? You the goat, you pressurized situations, that should be you, blah, blah, blah. Why'd you put the goat on your leotard? Who in your camp said that was cool? Who told you you could do that? And, you know, I heard that one. I heard
Chicago Bulls say what?
I'm sorry?
I said Chicago Bulls say what?
Man, I knew what you said. I was just like, what's that now?
Right, right.
I beg your pardon. So, yeah. I mean, that was said. It was she's selfish. These two go hand in hand. It was like, this didn't just happen when she got to Tokyo. What she dealing with this before she went? She's selfish. She could have let anybody else from the qualifier go and been in Tokyo since she was so decorated. It didn't just happen when you got off the plane in Tokyo. So, and like I said, that's where she's unapologetic. Look, man, I said what I said. I'm not going to compete because I ain't got it. Y'all ain't going to grade me right. Y'all grade me on the steepest curves. I just ain't going to do it.
Or they just won't give it to her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Start looking at the Russian judge and like, yo, what's the, oh, come on, man. She kills all around. Come on, man. You know. Yeah, but yeah, yeah, you put the goat on the back, you got to come out there and perform, man. What's up with all of that?
Right, right.
You know?
I remember when AI, man, when he came in the league, man, they were this crossover, you know. I was that close from getting banned. Hey, now, you carrying, fella. Yeah, you're doing something we can't put a constraint on, you know.
Speaking of, you said Chicago Bulls say what? So, I mean, we'll touch on that in a minute. But in the NBA, yeah, Goatman did step away. I mean, you know, everything with his dad and all that kind of stuff. But getting into the NBA, you just said AI. That's baby AI on my screen. That's baby AI down at the bottom, and you know. He was just that. I mean, I'll let Wally tell you about it, but Bubba Chuck was who he was, man. So, and we called you baby AI because you had some of that same, like what, I mean, you just unpack it however you want. What made you gravitate towards him? What was so dope about him that just, hey, this is who that's who he is. That's Chuck. You know what I mean? I know you had, that's your guy.
I was the same person. Like outside of basketball, like amongst friends or whatever, I was the one that was going to do something that everybody else was scared to do. So knowing how much that I love basketball, it was like, okay, like I told y'all this before and I mentioned it again. Like Jordan made me want to watch basketball, and then, you know, watching Chuck made me want to play. And then as I would see like little things, you know, whether it was interviews or, you know, the dress code, of course, that's the main thing that was the most unapologetic, in my opinion, because that turned into a trend with blending the cultures of whatever off the court. So that it was just little things like that I identified with. And then everything else just kind of like fell into place as far as, you know, him playing for my favorite team, me living where he is from, you know, in his hometown, playing ball in the area, stuff like that. And then everybody starting to like call me that. But I think, and it's not just him, like y'all saw the art mural that I made of, in my opinion, unapologetic people.
Yeah.
Who
was on there? Refresh me. Refresh the listener, the viewer.
Okay, so let me go to it just because it's a lot of people on there. So for me,
Mr. Purple Rain was on there, but go ahead.
Right. So I'll give y'all the list of everybody that's gonna be on here. I have to add Harriet Tubman to this. I gotta restructure, but I got Malcolm, Pop, Biggie, Maya Angelou, Dwayne Johnson, Kobe, Nipsey, Obama, Prince, 50, AI, Muhammad Ali, County Cullen, Frederick Douglass, Martin Luther King, and my old college professor, Hollis Pruitt, that passed, that I told y'all put me onto the African American studies. Like all of those people.
Bree said, we want to see it. she want to see him.
Who said that?
Bria, our top fan, want to see it. Let her see it.
I'll send it out so y'all can look at it. Yeah, just those people I identify with as unapologetic because they were who they were. Nothing was going to change their mission, no matter how much you wanted them to conform. And I already saw your face, Neil, so I know what you're about to say. Leave Martin alone. I got my reasons for Martin. But look, Dana, take him to the hospital. His lip bleeding. Dana, take
him. I respect that, man.
Call the ambulance.
Call
the ambulance. But to me, just all of those people in their own way stood out to me because they were in different avenues of interest in my life, whether it be music, whether it be wrestling, whether it be basketball, whether it be how I would like to be as a person, aware culturally. It's just so many different things, man. Like, so many different things that just stood out to me about all of those people. So
yeah, and with right that, my bad. I didn't mean to step on your line. Oh, get it right. Get it right. Baby girl is unapologetic about coming here and making sure pops look good. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of that, man, when you have people like that, it's not, like I said, it's just not just activism and stuff like that, but somebody unapologetic somewhere teeters the line in most cases in my eyes that you're literally risking it all. You know what the consequences and repercussions can be from what you are doing, and you're still willing to do it. You know what I mean? That's highly admirable because a lot of people won't step out and do that type of stuff. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's where we are with that. So, Compass, man, I got a couple names just scribbled down. I think we've hit, you know, in a nutshell, unapologetic. We're just talking about people, figureheads, athletes, you know, can be everyday people because I'm going to ask you guys, you start thinking about who you have in your life or who you've come across that you feel like might be somebody that's unapologetic and just does it their own way. So I'm in the random part of it where I scribbled down some names while we were talking pre-notes. And I have, you said Nick Cannon. You dropped the Nick Cannon. And then I want Wally to put me on Frederick Douglass. But you say Nick Cannon. Why so? What have you seen from Mr. Nick that made you throw his name out there?
So, you know, and it, I'm not gonna lie to you, man. I can't honestly say, okay, I'm very proud of who I am as a black man. Right? To say that I'm unapologetic, 100%, I don't think I'm unapologetic to 100%, you know, because, to give yourself that title, to be titled unapologetic, like you said, PK and Wally earlier, like you have no fear of the repercussions, right? Or those effects that may change up your life. You know what I mean? If I was to get on here and just sort of break other cultures to where it affects me and my livelihood, you know what I mean? Am I willing to sacrifice my family for that? You know, with my wife, you know, would she be okay if I was unapologetic to where now I can't pay the mortgage, you know? Because I didn't did or said something that was unapologetically charged. You dig what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm that guy yet, you know. But once Spotify gave us this $50 million LA deal, you know what I mean? Then, you know,
get out here saying whatever I want.
It's a game changer.
I gotta move to LA to talk to y'all.
Right, right. So, but Nick Cannon, you know, like you said, man, and this is Let's Move is, you know what I mean? It's his corny music. I'm not a big Nick Cannon fan when it comes to his music, the movies. You know, Nick Cannon, though, man, as an activist and what he represents for the culture and the humongous L that he took, right? Mm-hmm. By what they call anti-Semitic. You know, he damn near lost everything, you know. And Diddy reached out to him and said, hey, man, we got a spot over here with you. You know what I mean? For you, that bad boy. You know,
bring it on over this way.
Bring it this way, which was so dope. Man. And he keep pushing, you know. And he fell out of the limelight a little bit when it comes to certain things. But I still mess with Nick Cannon via the social platforms, you know what I mean? But, it was very unfortunate that, you know, certain jargon, right? Certain labels was put on us for so many years, right? And the moment he said something, counterbalances, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They basically aired out his whole career. It was unfortunate to see it, but I applaud him, man, because he said what he said and he kept pushing. I'll always look at Nick Cannon as an apologetic. You know, that's my dude. Go check him out, man. YouTube. He on point.
Brie talking about he ain't fall out the limelight. He was in all the maternity photos.
facts.
He ain't miss nothing.
Wally, you want to give us a little insight on Fred Douglas, or you know, a little self reading they need to do, or you want to give us something or what? Oh, what's up? What's on your mind?
I think just learning about him in general was good for me because It's all about the restraints that we had on us as barriers. Granted, I'm not gonna do the entire dissertation about it, but just understanding the upbringing, how he was educated, how he maintained and built off of that education opposed to running and being ashamed of it. And which I feel like back then, of course, everybody was categorized as unworthy of education. We weren't even really allowed to, you know, exist as a person. You know, we're not going to talk about three-fifths and all that right now. I need to be. It's so many variables there. But the one thing that stood out to me was just how captivating he was, not just because of his education, but he made sure you knew everything that you read, everything that you heard, everything that you saw when you met him in person was true. Yeah, I wrote that. Mm-hmm. I'm smarter than you. You know what I'm saying? This man was talking at inaugurations, he was talking to commanders, he was talking to everybody, man, just having so many different people hear his name and hearing about his stature, his reputation, everything that he, you know, had on his resume. And then when you see him in person, it was like, oh, mm-hmm. Like, you know how it was back in the day, like, who do you boys think you are? Who, you know? And then you see him and it's like, yeah, I ain't gonna say that. You know, like Denzel Washington would have never stood by that back in the day if he was one of the other people that had something negative to say. You know what I mean? That's one of the main things. The other part about it too was the criticism that he received with being married twice. He has five children. His first wife was black, and his second wife, I believe, his first wife's name was Anne, and his second wife's name was Helen, and she came from an American family, and he got a lot of criticism because she was white. So if I can find my notes on this, okay, so in regards to that, his second wife, Helen, who, like I said, she was, well, it says her parents were abolitionists. So from there, the problem was a lot of people were against their marriage because he himself, Frederick Douglass, was the son of a white father and a black mother. Mm-hmm. So the constant defamation of his character and how people viewed him as, you know, a hypocrite because it's like, oh, you're African American, you know, your first wife was black, and now you're marrying a white woman. And his response to that was, you know, he said in a quote, "Love came to me and I was not afraid," or she, actually his wife Helen said this in response to all of people that were criticizing them. They were just strong in their convictions, right? So she said, "Love came to me and I was not afraid to marry the man I loved because of his color." Frederick Douglass himself, in response to that same criticism, said, "This proves that I am impartial. My first wife was the color of my mother, African American, or African black, whatever, and the second, the color of my father." So, like we say, you are, you know, what your daddy is or whatever, but in this case, it doesn't matter. In this sense of your mother is black, once you get that drop in there, you know what I'm saying?
You done mixed it now.
Diluted.
Yep. It'll change,
right? Just knowing that about him, and then a lot of the quotes that were innovative and sparked a lot of arguments, sparked a lot of conversation, sparked a lot of debates that nobody could challenge him and tell him he was wrong. I'm gonna run off just a few.
Yeah, kick them down for me.
Yeah, just a few, and we can switch to something else. He's the one. Frederick Douglass is the one who has the quote that everybody loves: "If there is no struggle, there is no progress." That is a Douglass quote. What to the slave is the 4th of July? A little learning indeed may be a dangerous thing, but the want of learning is the calamity to any people. And lastly, I'll go back to our LONs, our Black Boys Read, our Joyful Elf. "It is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men." So,
I just said a word.
I like that note there, young man.
Yeah.
And those
are the three that I feel are most needed amongst society. And then maybe this last one is my favorite one of his, is I prayed for 20 years, but received no answer until I prayed with my legs. Gotta get up and go get it.
Gotcha. Or,
you know what I'm saying? This is another thing that's going to come out on a BFA quote. Like, make people support your actions and not just your words.
Yeah. You can't have a hot dog work ethic, basically.
You can't.
Filet mignon, but you got a hot dog work ethic.
What if it's Nathan's, though, man?
It ain't filet.
You can't walk in. You can't go in that environment, man. You can't go in there, you know, you can't walk into Ruth Chris with McDonald's money. It just don't work that way.
I mean, you can.
You can buy some napkins or something.
Yeah.
But that's just my take on it. I enjoy those people the most. Like I said, after maybe like AI being the most relatable to me, and then the most inspiring being Frederick Douglass, I would say the most respected to me would probably, after those two, would be Muhammad Ali, and not any more or less than the other two, but those would be my top three, just based on how my life is, where it was, where it is, and where I would like to take it. Those would be my three.
Gotcha. Love it. So I'm gonna spit a couple out there. Usually I'll be like, hey, I was at work and I was talking. Well, you know, I didn't go to work. I'm not going to work this week. But usually I'll say, yo, I was talking to, I got some people that I'll talk to at work, some coworkers and stuff, you know, and they are, you know, I usually have something from them to talk about. But I got a couple of names. What did Bree, my granny, auntie, birthday? That's only 4th of July week, not right. A couple of names I'll throw out there. I mean, we ain't got to expound a yay or nay unless y'all want to touch on them, you know, and we just kind of keep it moving. So the Malcolm and Martin. Martin says yes. No, Malcolm and Dr. Martin Luther. So you cool with Malcolm, but you say, I'm talking you as in Compass says that Martin ain't do it for you.
Yeah, man.
We can leave it at that. We ain't gotta go past that. That's up to you.
Listen, man, you on vacay, man. I got 9 minutes. I gotta get, you know what I mean? I gotta get your white sand, man. So okay, here you go, real quick. Uh-huh. You know, Martin Luther King Jr., man, I can't, it would be disrespectful for me to say that I do not respect his legacy, right? However, as much reading and research that I do, you know, and just randomly, you know, Dr. King, you know, when they put the task of coagulating the Black community, you know what I mean? He didn't want to do it.
Word.
Yeah. You know, he didn't want to do it. You know, he, I know, but I misspelled unapologetic earlier.
We didn't worry about that. Didn't nobody even see that. See, you was good until you said it. Didn't nobody even
it's
see
all
that.
Good, man. You know, but yeah, man, he didn't want to do it, you know, because he said, hey, you know, the African American community is fighting. They need that spokesman, you know. They need that spokesman, and Dr. King was it, you know. And he didn't want the job, you know. For a long time, even the early stages of the civil rights movement, he didn't want it, you know. And I didn't find this out until after I learned about him in school, you know what I mean? Coloring books, you know what I mean? And not saying that, I'm not taking nothing away from what he did, you know, but that's just why I lean toward Malcolm, you know, because Malcolm was, in my eyes, in my opinion, was legit all the way until they knocked him off, you know? Yeah, that's just, and it gets deeper, but that's just a synopsis.
Right. Unapologetic, you know, you did what you did, said what you said, and
yeah,
we're just gonna roll with it, and I'm gonna accept all the consequences and repercussions that come along with that. With that being said, what about our, you know, NFL season getting ready to kick off, and Kaepernick still didn't have a job? Is Kaepernick unapologetic?
Okay, Wally, before you go, ever since the first stuff popped off with Kaepernick, right? I caught myself boycotting the NFL, right? I've never been a big NFL dude, but I did watch the games. I followed trades. I followed seasons, right, up until. But I wasn't on it like I am the NBA. But when that happened, you know, Colin, I was just like, you know what? I'm done. you know, until they fix this. And I started linking all this stuff and I went down that Neil rabbit hole, and I have not been on the NFL since then, you know. But I applaud what he did, and I applaud that service level reasoning behind why he did it, you know. Did he make some Nike money off of that? Yeah, he did. Wally, I'm gonna let you have it from there, man. That's that, you know.
Wally, short, I mean, not short answer, however you want to. Colin Kaepernick, unapologetic, yes or no? Does he?
Trend chaser.
Ooh. All right. We're going to leave it there. Go ahead.
Unless somebody wants to smoke on it. I'm cool with it, but
I don't really have a say on it, man. He just doesn't have a job, and it caused a lot of stuff. It was the flag and all that kind of stuff. So I mean, I don't know where to fall on it, actually.
I respect what he did, but I think it was more to be accepted by us, because all the emphasis was put on, you know, his mom, you know, him being biracial. You know, so it was a lot of different stories going into that about, you know, his birth mother or whatever, and the family that raised him, I believe. It never felt genuine to me. Like, I feel like amongst his peers, that was something that was just, all right, I'm about to do this. But if you look at it, there's a history that you would need to see, in my opinion. Okay. And there's no history there.
Body of work, it just happened.
He's got blacks, whites, Hispanics, across all sports, taking a knee, college, semi-pro, pro, ABA, NFL, CBA, taking a knee. When I see that, I'm saying, you know, Colin started that.
And that's what he sees.
Is it some form of appropriation adjacent? Possibly. So
he didn't do it for the cause. He didn't actually do it for the cause.
Before, okay.
Adjacent.
I'm saying, what did he gain from it? He lost more than he gained, in my opinion.
He did, indeed.
Okay. I would prefer, we talked about status. We talked about financial security. I think a person in his position chases status. Mm. Because look at the environment that you're in. That sport, the culture you want to be a part of, that you've never really been involved or attached or associated with. I need to find a cause that won't be disputed, because I'm pretty sure he's probably been joked on or clowned about the upbringing he came from.
That's possible.
So how can I get y'all off my back?
Word.
And
my dog never took a knee. My the best player to ever do it. Not that guy. LeBron. I don't recall him ever taking a knee.
I just want somebody to find an interview. Find a post, find an article, a picture of anything from Colin Kaepernick before that kneeling situation became a big thing. And it was like, I'm gonna do it. And then once it came from all angles, the criticism, I think he fed off of that. I'm not talking about his ability. I'm not talking about his dedication or his work ethic as an athlete. I feel that that status of how he was received after the blackballing and all that, I feel like that meant more to him than trying to get back in the league when they manipulated that tryout. That's when you make people put their foot in their mouths, and he didn't do it. He didn't do it.
Oh yeah. Okay. Concur. Right.
So you said LeBron, and that brings me to MJ, because you know they got on MJ forever when he was playing. You know, social justice and inequalities. We're gonna pass on it. You know, those were around back then. He didn't do his thing. But now kudos to Mike. Mike got everybody wearing Jordan brand. He got the whole women's label set up and all that kind of stuff. You know, they, our ladies are still trying to break that glass ceiling and get out here and get theirs and earn theirs and everything. So, you know, I will give them kudos for that. I just had a couple names, just a yes or no. Just a couple randoms I was thinking about. Dennis Rodman? Because remember, we didn't say it had to be about a cause or anything. Or is it more like a sideshow type thing for him? Dennis Rodman?
He is unapologetic. Like, Ron, I mean, Artest. Completely, yes.
Kanye.
Kaepernick.
Yeah. Kanye.
Kanye.
And Kaepernick. Same.
I don't know.
Kanye and Kaepernick, you said?
Same. I feel they're chasing the status to be looked at as indifferent.
Not dare to be different. Just be
I tend to agree with you, man. You know, and I only say that because offline conversation, man. I'm always shooting out videos in the first three or four, the college themed Kanye albums, man. Yeah. He was very, you know, he was very one way, as opposed to the Yeezus.
Let me ask y'all this question real quick. It's cool if you want money off of your clothes, money off your shoes, right? Would you ever come out of your mouth and say what he said about Harriet Tubman?
No.
Oh, okay. So is it a show? Are you really on that type of energy, or are you chasing a status to maintain relevancy for being indifferent? Like, it's a lot of people, and I know a lot of people, and it pisses me off. It's a lot of people that are Kanye fans that want to be indifferent in that way. Like, there's no logic behind what they do. They
That was great. I completely understand what you're saying. I do.
I want Kanye, the backpack rapper. That's the one I want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When he was the backpack. Yeah, maybe, you know. Okay.
It makes sense. That was
it. Does complete. I have nothing.
We kind of hit the other ones. Rodman, Artest, Kanye, Ali. And we had Jesse Owens, Jim Brown, Biles, Iverson. Yeah. Trevor Noah is one that I follow, because Trevor Noah says what he says what he says, and he stands by it. Him and the other fella, Jesse Williams, I think.
Jesse Williams.
Yes. He, you know, he'll spit that game as well. My last one, and then we can start to get into our end of the yes or no. Our former president, number 45. Was he unapologetic? What was it about?
No. No, he's a politician.
No.
You can't be unapologetic.
Just consistently ignorant. That's it.
And I wouldn't even say that, man. I would say that.
So, I think we did. Well, I know we did. I always say I think we did pretty well, man. Solid episode, I believe. I know. You guys got anything y'all want to get off y'all chest before we go into business shout outs, and we're going to let Wally kick us into number 7, episode 7? Y'all got anything?
Yeah, I have nothing, man. I have nothing. Touch on anything? I enjoyed you guys, as always.
I do. Wally? I do. Just to close the topic.
Yep.
Okay. There's a difference, and this goes back to me picking with Neil about this word, but you can tell when the genuity is real.
Genuity.
Seriously, you can tell when something is authentic. And that's why I say what I say about like the Kanye thing. It's not authentic to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll say the I guess the trigger of his mom passing had something to do with it. Mm-hmm. But some of the other stuff is like, nah, B. I'm not, nah. Because you can't sit there and be college dropout Kanye, backpack Kanye, and be like ethically in tune on a public stage.
Yeah.
And then you are a complete 180. Harriet Tubman didn't really free the slaves, and you friends with Trump now. And the Yeezus thing, like, come on, bro. Like, I stopped liking Lil Wayne when he said he's not Tupac, he's the new Pac. We're not doing that. You know what I'm saying? There's certain things where it's like, all right, I was with you up until you. Now you're reaching. In a way that's like you just forcing it, and I hate to say it like this, but that type of shit is corny to me.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Young Tune for that one. Okay, so I got the last question before we get into our closing and everything. As you think back, you know, our 30 years we've been on Earth, you know,
28.
There we go. Outside of the people that we've discussed, some people don't know themselves. They're searching for a tribe to claim and validate them. They're just floating in the wind, confused and bewildered. That's from our top fan, Jack Gathers, bewildered. So across you guys is walks of who have you come across that you feel has, you know, in your personal life that you feel is been unapologetic and not like. Man, Shikari, you say, the world wasn't ready for a Shikari. They were trying to call like ghetto or hood, like, but she was running with the lashes and the hair and all that kind of stuff. You can see her look could be unapologetic, but they call it ghetto and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, getting back to the question, you know, do you have anybody in your life you thinking like, you know what, that man? At some point in time, not they didn't have to risk it all or anything, but you know, just somebody that's like, that's just that person.
Yeah, I think the ladies, the women in my life, man. I mean,
that's a good
my mother, and my wife, man. Like, so right, just because I knew my mom first, my mom, she put some jewels in my head early. You know, she would I used to always think she was tripping. We go somewhere out to eat, and then those microaggressions with Andrew would change back. They don't make contact with you. They kind of just let the coins fall.
My mama had a fit.
You know? Yeah, I seen my dudes snap. Like, and I'm like, oh, I don't like going nowhere with it. But she's unruly. You know, she's militant. You know, such and such. Nah, bro, she's unapologetic, you know. Mm-hmm. My wife to this day, I've seen her snap. It was a situation, man. She was calling to get the banner made, you know, and the lady that she was on the phone with, you know, the lady's name was Karen, you know. The lady was like, yeah, my name is Karen, my wife, she went crazy. You know, and the lady was rude, you know. Luckily, the lady was rude, so it justified. You know what I mean? Those other remarks that came after that. But, man, unapologetic, you know. I think it's so dope. You know, and these are people that I can touch. I'm like, hey, I need to do better. I want to be like that, you know. On occasion, you know, I gotta find myself having to take political approaches to things.
Yeah, of course, you have to. Just because of who you are, as who you are, you know, it's absolutely. Because right. you say it one way, and you that angry black man, and they ready, you know what I mean? They got you in HR.
Yeah, man. And all that kind but of I stuff. Teach my boys, though, PK and Wally, hey, man, right now, be unapologetic. That way, you get to that age, they, you know, you won't skip a beat, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Wally, you got somebody, you know, that you think back that was just that person. They was all out with it. They did it. They said it how they wanted to. Not, like I said, not rude or disrespectful or any. It may come off like that to some other people, but you got somebody like, yo, they did it their way. They lived it, you know.
My uncle.
I knew it. That's uncle that you'd have ran in to get the watch for. That if the place was on fire and you got the babies in the white, that's okay. Yep. All right.
My whole life, it was. Hey, know that you can do this over there with them, but you need to learn how to do it over here with us. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where that whole polishing thing came from. Like, he used to visit, we would go play pool, and I'm like 5-6 years old. We playing pool in the little arcade or whatever, and he was telling me stuff like, remember, it's okay for people to look different, but you need to make sure you do things with people that look like you. Find the example that look like you. And that's just how he was. Like, he loved his people. He wasn't rude or disrespectful, but it was a straight up stick with your own mentality. And nobody could ever challenge that. You could never come at his character. There was no hypocrisy, whether it was in word or in action. You know what I'm saying? There was nothing there for that. And, you know, I mean, like, now, as crazy as it is, it's the 5-year-old. Like, for real, like,
them be the ones too.
Yeah, I don't
already got it. She already got that something that's just gonna be like, yeah, when Victoria walk in a room, head's gonna turn and she gonna say do and navigate in any arena. You can already tell.
We talk about the time. Like, I don't know what's up with this one yet, but as far as with her, like, we talk about that all the time. Like, it's the presence. Like, you gonna know I'm here.
Yeah.
And it ain't nothing else that's gonna, you know, that's gonna deter me. You're gonna know I'm here. And she has no shame, no matter who's in the room or who's on the phone or who's on the computer. She right there. Like,
facts.
What it is.
Yep. Hey, what's up with it? Like, that's just.
I echo that sentiment along with Cornelius, man, with the compass, man. My pops, of course, man, pops put me up on so much. And, you know, being a command sergeant major, even before then, just when we would get together with the family and everything like that, whatever he said kind of went, it didn't matter. He just always, you know, son, say what you're going to say, stand on it, mean it, look out for the family, do this. Never let them know how much you know, but give them enough. It was just, he just gave me all that kind of stuff to just like navigate. And I was like, man, Pop's just all, he don't give a, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was admirable. And I appreciate having that man for the time that I did. My mom, same way, man. We went to Red Robin one time, man, and she's big on, or we go to a retail place. You know, you go to the cash register. A greeting. How are you? Did you find everything okay? So if they don't say anything, she says, so you having a great day? You doing okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, let me ask you.
Yeah.
You don't ask me. Yeah. We went to Red Robin, man, and they kind of like flipped the coasters out. Like, she said, no, the hell, you're not going to throw no coaster. I said, Ma, that's what they do at the restaurant. They kind of, no, don't nobody throw nothing to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, she is all out there with her. Mom's just has been like that, man. We went to Vegas for my sister's birthday. And we just walk in, and she says, oh, hey, CeeLo. I'm like, oh, it was really CeeLo. She just said, hey, you know what I mean? Bodyguard or whoever was with him, she just said it. Just
Mama, inside Jesus.
Hey, wait, what did he say? Did he respond?
He said, hey, how you doing, man? Fine. Take a son, get over and take a picture with CeeLo. Then she told that man, you better mind your manners and listen to your moms. This is what my mom told CeeLo. CeeLo in the bottom of Planet Hollywood Hotel, probably about five, six, no, it might have been about 8 years ago. We was literally walking, getting on the elevator. She said, "Oh, hey, CeeLo," and I'm like, "That ain't no, oh, that is CeeLo."
And he said, "Yes, ma'am."
He said, "Yes, ma'am." Same thing. She went to see my sister lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. Mom was in the airport one day and saw Anthony Hamilton. And told him, she said, "I love that. So my son, them, they that Charlene, come on, I get the crown and stuff like that. You better mind your manners. I know your mama proud. I'm proud of it." Just like, just all out there with it, man. Just them said it. Just walked up on the man and was talking. Man. But last but not least, that one, the one that I married, that is downstairs, man. Shawty right there. And it comes, I'm not gonna say it came, comes and goes, but I've seen it come like full circle, just especially with her running her business, her own business the last 5.5 to 6 years. There's just some stuff that she just will not deal with, and it just ain't gonna happen. It's gonna be this way because I've done this, I've done the work, this is my resume, check it, this is what it's gonna be. You won't offer me this rate, and then try to get me. She just all out there with it. But the one that sticks out in my mind, we were juniors or seniors in college, and we were working at Office Depot, both of us working full-time at Office Depot, and the smokers on the schedule, man, the smokers got to go outside, you know.
Oh, like cigarette smokers. Yeah,
smokers
okay,
got
okay,
to go outside yeah. every hour on the hour, 10, 15 minutes outside, smoke a cigarette, just get a cigarette. So, you know, you work an 8-hour shift, you get your lunch plus 10 minutes, you know what I'm saying? That's 80 minutes worth of work we didn't get because you went outside to smoke a cigarette. My girl ran the copy and print, she worked in copy and print, making business cards, flyers, and all that kind of stuff. And she told the store manager, she was like, "Hey, the smokers get a break. I don't smoke. I want to take a break. I do like to chew gum. So this is what's going to happen. When I'm ready to take a gum break, I'm going to go stand outside with the smokers on the sidewalk, chew my gum for 10 minutes. When the flavor's gone, I will come back in." And I can't remember what actually ended up happening off of that. But either they gave her the gum breaks for a little bit or they cut down the smokers. But I was like, he just went up to the store manager and just said, you know, the smoker gets to go outside every hour on the hour. So I'm going to go and I'm going to chew this gum. And when the flavor gone, I throw it away and I'm going to come back in here and I'm going to keep making these business cards.
Get them with the TI. Hey, look at here, dog.
Yeah, look at here. So she just all out with, but that right there is just really unapologetic and like for real. She just, it amazes me in a good way, man. She, you know, they want me to come teach this yoga class, but they want to do this. They must have known I got 200-hour certification, 300-hour certification. I do yoga, I do meditation, I do Reiki, I do this, and this. You got to pay me what you owe, and that's what it's going to be. And then, "Oh, we can't do that." She said, "Well, sorry we waste each other's time. You next." You know what I mean? And wow. Just roll with it. When you turn it down, coins. We ain't even made it to the island. She already turned down coins, man. So... and then she just said, I used to pat the gum like they do the cigarette. Was like really good. Yeah. So with all that being said, man, we come to the part of the show where we are into August is Black Business Month, and John Will Templeton, he decreed that 2004, you know, drive the policy and the agenda affecting 2.6 million Black businesses. Before I hit the businesses, I want to get our YouTube guys out there, our actual YouTube. Jenna's gonna drop the links for me, baby, if you can hear me. Testing. She'll drop the links for us. We got Brothers From Another. Neil does a fantastic job mixing, mastering, chopping, putting that on for us, you know, with the edits, and he's playing around with that stuff. So those, I don't know how often those drop, but y'all get us now. You hear it, you will be in your ear and all that kind of stuff, so that doesn't really matter. But check the channel, like, follow, subscribe. Same thing with his channel, man. The Compass is doing his thing. He's got a shoe giveaway coming up, man. Congrats. I think he's working on a little brand deal type thing going on, everything. The shoes, the outfits, all the stylings and everything. Like, follow, subscribe, comments, and all that kind of stuff is vital. crucial for his growth, our growth, development, and everything there. And our guys, the Undisputed guys, Wally's other podcast live stream, Undisputed Champions, man, they are doing their thing as well. If you ain't caught one of those, just click that.
So dope.
Watch about 5 minutes of that.
So dope. Pick
any one of them and watch about 5-6 minutes of that. I guarantee you'll just go ahead and watch it, man.
Oh, man.
They be going off. Got me watching wrestling. I ain't watched wrestling. I don't know how long, but I am all on it. I'm all for it. So
it's Corey's fault, man. It's not. It's not me. It's Corey.
It is Corey.
Corey, whoever it is, that thing is funny, man. We, you know, the compass will show you. But yeah, so these hugs are my hugs, man. This thing is still doing numbers. This is the compass wife. Nah, she gets her own title. This is the critically acclaimed offer. The BFA critically acclaimed offer. Dana McCall has put the first book out. These hugs are my hugs. That thing is doing numbers on Amazon. You get the book. I think, don't let me misquote, I think they get the bookmark comes with that and everything too.
Whoa, man. Only those near and dear.
Gotcha.
I'm joking.
You know what I mean? But these hugs are my hugs, man. Fantastic read, man. Check that out. Please and thank you. Janet, we are on vacation, but the Etsy shop is still open. We dropped some orders off, man. The smudge spray to get that bad juju. My cousin just went into the dorm room. She needed to get this order in and get something to get that bad juju out of the people that took them summer classes. Spray this in the room. Take care of everything. You good to go.
Smudge.
S-M-U-D-G-E. Used for cleansing and clearing. Getting that good juju and stuff in. All them bad vibes out. The money oil. You know what I mean? Money, love, organization, and tracks. You know, it attracts love, money, and all that good stuff. She's got the blessing oil on there, the love oils on there. That is the Etsy shop. I used to say She Gathers Creates, or Gat House Creates, but it's now called the Village Healer. She's moving towards the apothecary, but you got the smudge spray, love oil, blessing oil, money oils, all that on there. Still JetAtGathers.com. Your yoga, your meditation, your Reiki. You got the BFA link tree that's got all of our, where we are streaming at. That's our Google Podcasts, our Apple Podcasts, our Spotify's, our Pocket Casts. We just like all of iHeartRadio, Amazon, Audible. We doing numbers all over the place, man. We got Culture College Counseling, man. College Prep, I think that is based in Columbia, South Carolina. They'll get the kids ready. College Prep wise, that's Brianna, top fan, and one of her, might have been one of her classmates. I don't have all the details on this sheet, but, you know, rolling along. You got Kelly and Company Crafting. They do all kinds of mugs and shirts and stuff for you. Chase and Charlie has your Apple. My seat just went down. My bad. Your accessories and sunglasses. Check that site there. AKs and Tech does your IT. Take care of your IT needs. Of course, you got Legacy of Megasi. You got Lissa's Natural. She does the shea butters, the body scrubs, all that natural stuff for you. Seabrook Custom Creations. They do shirts and stuff for you as well. My boy Nick Sampson has written two books. Nick's Bookshelf, he's got two books on there. Katrina Cole's Wine Shop at Home, man. She'll do the virtual wine tasting. Shell, you hear that? You get the virtual wine tasting right there. Katrina Cole, she can get you taken care of. I think Janet's going to drop those links. I hate to repeat myself. Not saying that she needs to drop them, but I hate to repeat myself that she will drop those for us. These hugs are my hugs. And then my guy, my brother from high school, Mr. TK, Tavares Kid, man, Ghost Rider Clothing. I wore one of his shirts the other day. He did a brand launch. Well, the brand's already been out, but they just re-up with some new stuff. He's got a shirt that says, "Hold My Crown." I have got to get that shirt. Ghost Rider Clothing. We got that on there as well. So that is our business shout outs. We love to take care of our businesses. We have close to 1,000 followers and likers of the page. So if they're seeing this, hearing it, you know, man, that's 1,000 potential eyes. That's 1,000 subscribers for the Compass, 1,000 subscribers for Undisputed, 1,000 for, you know, BFA on YouTube, all of that good stuff. So without further ado, we are going into episode number 7. I'm going to let Wally please enlighten me as I give those that are watching the visual aid. See that?
Oh. So the way that this works is just a short story. I don't know how this happened, but this was definitely something that happened. something happened with us having these conversations, me and Corey having these conversations, and we literally started, I started both of these groups with y'all at the same time. We kicked off Wednesday, April 7th for season one of BFA episode one, Josh Strong. And literally 3 days later, on our first WrestleMania weekend, me and Corey had our first episode of the Undisputed Championship.
Just like that.
And literally doing that simultaneously is a task, but it's well worth it. We know why it wasn't fun for me for a little bit, but we are now good. And so now you got BFA. You got Brothers from Another. You got the Undisputed Champion show. So episode 7, got to be Undisputed Brothers.
Ooh,
got to be.
It's going to be a crossover episode. So
I can't wait.
So we're going to talk about our individual personalities. We're going to have the brother man himself, Mr. Corey Mann, my co-host from the Undisputed Champion show, will be on here with us. Mm-hmm. And we are going to dive into some nostalgic then and now wrestling moments, maybe some top moments. And we're going to figure out who we see ourselves as previously in the wrestling world growing up, who were those favorites of ours, and see if we can identify with some of the newer wrestlers, athletes, and see if we identify with any of them in today's world. So we're going to see how that goes. I'm interested in seeing that. And
that joint going to hit. That's going to hit. And it just adding on to that, so we're going with the wrestling because, you know, that's their that's what they do on their side. And then we're going to put that BFA. I think we're going to throw like a little tier list in there because a lot of my wrestling is back from back in the day. So we're going to have a tier list. I want my fellas to come with like maybe their top 3 to 5 toys from back in the day. You know, back in the day, what was the toy that you was rocking with? So that we get the wrestling, you know, we get that part and the BFA since we cutting up a little bit. Your top 3 to 5 toys from back in the day, your tier list. We may even have your top 3 or 5. I'm just throwing some stuff out. Maybe your top 3 to 5, you know, maybe wrestling intro theme musics are one of the best quotes. Because I know when that man used to say, and that's the bottom line. You know what I'm saying? I was ready to go off. So we got some planning to do on that. I don't be putting nothing in my guy's mouth or whatever. But this right here, and I've had this belt for a long time. So I didn't go buy that just to prop for this moment. I've had this. But you got the brothers, and we getting ready to make this thing work, man.
I got a belt. I'm going to bring my belt, too. I got a belt, too, man. I didn't know he was going to bring one. Yeah. I got a belt, too.
I'm a Stone Cold Undertaker. Jenny, you better flex.
You see that? Hey, Wally.
Yeah.
So look, you see the
yeah, he got the man
there.
Man is over there with the crown.
That's so, not. That's only half of them. That right. Ain't even.
Yeah, you gotta check that Fiend. You gotta check that Fiend episode. That Fiend episode, he had the Fiend belt, and Corey was hot.
You hot. Know what
I'm saying? Florida summer hot. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, folks, we appreciate y'all hanging out with us, man. We're gonna get out of here. Peace and love. We love y'all. Thanks for all the support. Like, follow, you know, share it to your page. Leave the comments for us and everything, man. We love y'all. We'll see y'all same time, same place next Wednesday, and we gone. Yes. Yeah.